Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Once again, that's the sound of rock splitting. You got Doc Holliday here, and I'm just telling you, we got another packed edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're glad you're here listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're going to get right into today's special guest, Mike Johnson. He's been deep in the civil rights movement for many years. He's seen immigration, and he's seen illegal immigration. The difference, what it can affect. He has seen it for decades, and he's going to tell us some things. He's going to give us a view you haven't heard anywhere else, a view from the African-American community about this immigration reform bill that passed in the Senate. And you'll hear things on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics you won't hear anywhere else. That's why you're listening. And Mike Johnson is going to step up to the microphone, and he's going to tell you some things you hadn't heard or thought about, and he's going to let you know about this Senate bill that passed through the Senate, some things you may not know, and he's hoping to awaken the eyes, especially African-American members of Congress. So listen to what Mike Johnson has to say coming up in an exclusive Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics interview. We do have exclusives here, and you hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. And also to Tombstone of the Week Award we'll have at the end of the show. You don't want to miss that, because the Supreme Court came out with a ruling about the same-sex marriage case in the state of California. But guess what? I'm going to tell you something you've probably not heard anywhere else. We're going to be ahead of the curve here. News not going to tell you about it, but you're going to hear it here. It's something that's going on right now in the state of California that nobody else will cover. You listen to me, because you're going to get what you need to know, and you're going to get more than what the world and the average American gets, because you're listening to us right here. And I've got an exclusive for this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, so don't miss it coming up at the end of the show. Before we get right over to Mike, we're going to get to him very quickly here in a couple minutes. Just have to talk about, there's so many things out there, but I just got to tell you, you know, we talked about the IRS and how they targeted the Tea Party. And surprise, 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 like Gomer Powell might say, an Obama-appointed IRS chief counsel helped develop the targeting methods. We're finding out more and more, and we just got to let the truth come up. And, you know, the old farmers, you have to churn the butter, and you say the cream will rise to the top. Well, we were hoping the truth to rise up to the top for the American people to see, and see how corrupt officials such as Eric Holder and others who are holding on their positions should not be there, should be fired, should be just put out of office in shame for what Eric Holder has done through Fast and Furious and covering up and not letting the murders of Mexico be coming out. He's done all kind of things, not just for Fast and Furious, but even before he's ever appointed. Go back to the Mark Rich case and the way he helped get the pardon through with Bill Clinton just because of money. This guy didn't pay his taxes. Where are the poor people demanding justice? This guy didn't pay taxes. Bill Clinton let him off, and they looked the other way. Well, a different story for a different day, but I had to just remind people of the scandals that's going on in this administration. And we got to get to today's interview with Mike Johnson about immigration. So let's get right over to it. And let's get us a little Made in the USA music right here. And then we'll go to Mike Johnson.
Made in the USA.
All right, on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we're glad to have Mike Johnson. And Mike is a concerned citizen. He's an African American, and he's an activist and activist for freedom. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Holliday.
Well, one thing I know about you, Mike, is you got a lot of experience about illegal immigration, and you've seen it. And then tell us why you have a lot of experience in this area.
Well, my family moved to Southern California in 1963, and I left California and moved to Northern Mississippi in 2000. And so in those years that I've lived in California, I've seen the devastating effect that uncontrolled illegal immigration has on society and a community and/or a state, as far as how it overwhelms your school systems, your hospital system, your jail systems, what it does to your traffic, you know, everything that you know you sort of take for granted being a free citizen in this country. You know, the effects that uncontrolled immigration, and I like to put it, you know, the invasion from foreign nationals have on your community and how it transforms your community and the lawlessness and the crime and everything else that accompanies it.
Well, Mike, you were, like I said, you were in Southern California. Well, you said California. Is it Southern California or what are different places in California?
Southern California. I was raised in Los Angeles County.
Okay,
and so I lived
from 1963 to 2000. So that's 37 years, and you saw a lot of changes. I know because there was a lot of changes from the early 60s to the year 2000, and there was a lot of undocumented immigrants or illegal aliens or foreign nationals. There are actually millions came in California, and they tried to correct that in 1986. President Reagan signed an amnesty bill and said that would take care of it. And you were there in 1986. Did the amnesty bill take care of the problem?
1987 was overruled in the courts and struck down as being unconstitutional.
Now you're talking about 187. I'm not familiar what you're talking about there. What are you talking about, Mike?
That's the bill that we tried to pass in 1986 that would deny illegal aliens access to government services.
Well, that was the state of California?
That was the state of California.
Okay. And Ronald Reagan, they had a national amnesty bill that came out in 86.
In 86. Awful.
Right, and so but I'd forgotten or actually didn't remember. In California, the state of California voted the voters put up
it was Proposition 187.
Oh, 187, okay.
Yeah, Proposition 187. And it was designed to deny illegal aliens access to government services, your welfare, our school system, hospitals, because, you know, the state of California was being overwhelmed with the expense of taking care of these illegal aliens. And so in 86, the state passed a proposition to try to put a stop to it.
And that proposition, it passed, but then it was ruled unconstitutional.
Correct.
At one point, California had one of the best school systems in the country, I believe. And that's back maybe when Ronald Reagan was governor and in the 60s and early 70s, but why did their school system go from the top to one in the bottom?
During that time, especially during the late 70s and the 80s, when this invasion started really having an effect on the school system, resources were being diverted for bilingual education, things of that nature, which took away from the learning process. And I want to say that basically the system was just dumbed down. Also, I want to say it was just overwhelmed as far as population is concerned. Mm. And it had a devastating effect on our school system.
Well, did you see, you were there, I mean, did taxes go up? I mean, how were all these things paid for? That the 187 is ruled unconstitutional. And then, I mean, you were there up to 2000. Is that one of the reasons you said it's time to get out? Or
Well, to be very honest with you, I came home from work one day, and I looked around my community, and I asked my wife, when did we move to Mexico? Because there are some places, a vast majority of places in California, that have basically overrun with illegals, and you're, I can say you can almost assume that you're in Mexico.
And that is one thing. But one thing I want to make sure and our listeners to know, you know, there were a lot of immigrants that came in legally in California, especially in the 50s and 60s. But then there came to be the onslaught where people were just crossing the border. And it, still there were some coming in legally, but so many got tired of waiting in line, and then they started coming across the border in the millions, we know.
Well, Doc, let me tell you a story was told me in the early 80s.
Okay.
Is that, you know, something is really insidious happening, in that I believe that the Mexican government is in collusion with this this influx of the Mexican nationals into our country.
Now you can say that, but I mean, you got any basis to say that you think they're in collusion or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was told in the early 80s that the Mexicans, and I don't use the word Mexicans, they were going to basically come across the border, and at that time, the way it was used, they're just going to squat. And I remember telling the individual that told me, this individual used to work in Mexico, and he told me, Michael, the Mexicans, they're just going to come over, and they're just going to squat.
Uh-huh.
Because we have short memories in America. A lot of the Mexican people actually believe that the American Southwest was stolen from them. And they have organizations like La Raza, and their purpose is to take back the American Southwest and to create a situation where our system will implode upon itself under the weight of this mass illegal immigration. Mm. You know, they don't have a love for America as most Americans have a love for America. And that's why I use the word something insidious is going on.
Well, I know I want to get your history there so our listeners understand that you do have some experience and knowledge of seeing illegal immigration right before your eyes and over a period of years and even decades. And that brings us up today, and the United States Senate has passed a bill that they call it immigration reform. But and they say it's not amnesty, but everybody I hear says that the bill that the Senate passed is amnesty, and then you worry about border security once everybody's legalized. Over 10 million people are legalized. So what do you think about the Senate bill that's passed the Senate?
It's absolutely amnesty, and number one, I'm offended by the bill. As a law-abiding citizen of the United States, I'm offended. Mm-hmm. Number one, because the population is continuously being told lies by elected officials. One of the lies that are constantly being told is that our immigration system is broken. Mm-hmm. We are a very generous nation, and we allow over a million lawful immigrants into this country every year.
A million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is broken is that our elected officials will not do their constitutional duty to protect and defend the borders of the United States of America. That's what's broken.
The laws are there.
They refuse to enforce immigration laws that are already on the book. That's what's broken. Our immigration system is not broken.
But and you can say that, but it seems like you're a lone voice, because it seems like all the media and everybody's saying we've got to have reform. What we got now is not working. And instead of throwing out the politicians, we're trying to throw out the laws and the Constitution and rewrite everything, it seems like. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with you on that.
And
all we need to do is just enforce laws that we already have on the book. And that's what offends me. Because what also offends me is that this illegal immigration movement is often compared to the civil rights movement. I guess people forget that during the civil rights movement is that blacks were law-abiding citizens. We were not foreign nationals who were openly breaking American law, demanding being treated special, special treatment.
That's a good point.
For our lawlessness.
But what the civil rights?
The civil rights movement, it was the states that were in violation of the law. It wasn't the citizens of the United States. I'm offended every time I hear this movement being compared to the civil rights movement.
And I know you were a part of the civil rights movement, and you had your life at risk at times. And at the same time, one of the things which you pointed out is the civil rights movement, that you were American citizens who wanted your full rights, whereas you got illegal immigrants here. They've broken the law to come here, and now they want special rights. They don't want equal rights or civil rights. They want special rights that make me a citizen.
Right. They want to be treated different than the rest of us. And like I say, and I'm also offended, the government is asking us to look the other way at this lawlessness that's been perpetrated by them. You know, if they're working here in this country, and if they're paying Social Security taxes, that means that they're committing Social Security fraud, using somebody's Social Security number to have that tax taken out of their payroll taxes. And if you or I committed that crime, we would be deported straight to the penitentiary with no concern about our families, the family, really, all that compassion that our government wants to give them. So I'm offended at the position our government wants us to.
I say you're, Mike, you said you're offended, and I believe you are, and I believe you're right in saying that. But one of the things I notice in Congress, you got the Congressional Black Caucus, and I don't think there's a single member of the Congressional Black Caucus that represents the different parts around the country, and especially the African-American community. But every one of them are pushing the Senate bill. They want amnesty for the illegal immigrants. And so why is your voice, why do you stand out? It seems like you're standing out in the wilderness compared to most African-Americans. So what's your take on the rest of the population in African-American
There are a lot of African-Americans that understand that the passing of this bill will have a devastating effect on our community.
Tell us what kind of devastating effect.
We're already suffering a very high unemployment. We're already suffering from overcrowded schools. We're already suffering from so many different elements that would only be made worse if this immigration bill would be passed. I'm praying that our representatives, like you said, the Congressional Black Caucus, will sooner or later wake up and see that this bill is not beneficial for the black community or the citizens of the United States. It would only hurt us as a country and as a community.
Michael, let me break in right here and let me remind our listeners, you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. We're talking to Mike Johnson, and he's an African-American who has very big concerns about the Senate immigration reform bill. And we've just been talking about some of his experiences and what he's seen in the state of California. And now we're talking about what can you do in the Congressional Black Caucus, and others will be voting in the House. And so in just a minute, we're going to let Mike follow through on some of the things that can be done and what can people do, and especially in the African-American community. We'll be talking about that in just a minute. Before we do, let me remind you, you can go back and listen to our shows in the archive section. I don't want anybody to miss the Great American Hero Show for July 4th. We had Apollo 13 astronaut Fred Hayes, exclusive interview. And like I said, if you want to know what happened on Apollo 13 that never happened on any other spaceship coming back into the atmosphere, listen to that exclusive interview with Fred Hayes. you'll be glad you did. And go back to our shows. We really covered a lot of subjects about politics the last couple of weeks. And you can go back and listen to those archive shows. Invite you to go back and listen to many of our shows to pick up on these issues. Because right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we stay ahead of the curve. We'll tell you things here you won't hear anywhere else. And I want you to stay tuned, because at the end of the show, we're going to have this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And we're going to tell you something about what the Supreme Court ruled on gay marriage in the state of California that you hadn't heard anywhere else. But you're going to hear it here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And later on, the rest of the country may know, but you'll know first. So hang on to the end of the show here for the Tombstone of the Week Award. And now we're going to get right back in here with Mike right after I tell you, don't forget to go to the website. That's, you can go to my homepage, my website page at on the front right there, and order the book, Rock Splitting Politics. We need you to make sure your friends have a copy and you have a copy. We got plenty that we can send out that helps keep this show on the air. And we also want to thank our friends at Freedom Works. If you want to know a grassroots organization that can help you and your community get involved so we can get this nation turned around, it's taking you and me and activists all across this country working together. Go to freedomworks.org. Just click on there. There's an ad with Matt Kibbe. I'm telling you, Freedom Works, they're going to help us get this nation turned around. It's going to take you and me working with them. And Mike Johnson right here is helping us understand better the African-American community and what they feel about the immigration bill and what we need to do here in the House. So, Mike, we're getting right back with you now. So won't you tell us about what can happen and why is it important to keep looking at this immigration bill?
So I'm hoping as time goes on, you know, people will awaken to what's in store for us. And I tell people, if you want to know the future of the nation, look at what has happened to the state of California with the high taxes, other effects that are perpetrated on the law-abiding citizens in the state of California.
Man, I think we know there's hundreds of millions of dollars being spent incarcerating illegal immigrants who have committed crimes and have to serve their time in a penitentiary there in California. And now, because they got so many people in the penitentiary in California, are letting hardcore criminals out because, you know, the federal judges say, you know, you can't keep them here. They're overcrowded. So hardcore criminals are getting out of prison now, and because we got so many illegal immigrants that have committed crimes, and now they're not even picking up anybody. They're not going to pick up somebody because you're an illegal immigrant. Unless you murder somebody, you probably don't get picked up much anymore.
Yeah, and also the citizens of the state of California are being victimized by crimes perpetrated against them by illegal aliens, including murder, hitting runs, you know, all kinds of crimes are being perpetrated on the citizens of the state of California by illegal immigrants.
Well, Mike, I was talking about the Senate has passed their version, and the House has taken up immigration. They haven't passed anything yet. And you talked about you hope that the black community will start letting their concerns be known to especially the Congressional Black Caucus. But right now, you're here. If you could speak to the members of the Congressional Black Caucus as an African American and about this immigration bill, tell me exactly what the leaders of the Congressional Black Caucus to know.
Passage of this immigration bill would not be beneficial to the African American community, period. It would only worsen our condition. It would only worsen our unemployment. It would worsen our school districts. Our communities will only find itself in a worse condition than it is now.
Mike, let me ask you this, because, you know, everybody goes, well, the illegal immigrants are already here. They're already going to school. Now, how would it make it worse in the schools? People legal that are illegal now, then they invite their family members in, and before you know it, 10 million goes to 20 million or even 30 million. So is
absolutely
that what you're talking about?
You know, I also don't really have faith in the numbers that they're telling. They're telling us 10 to 11 million. I bet there are 11 million illegal aliens in the state of California by itself.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, and then if the passage of this bill, I think it's estimated that another 20 or 30 million will also come across the border with that family unification.
Hmm.
And, you know, with the country and the economic condition that is in now, and the high unemployment in the black community and other communities, it doesn't make any sense to add to our strain and our misery by granting legalization to lawbreakers.
Well, Mike, one of the things that I wanted, when you were talking about that, I remember in the Senate bill that passed, there is a provision in there where, you know, it would make it easier for employers to hire these newly, once they're legalized, it would give them incentives to hire the newly legalized immigrants if that happens. What kind of effect would that have on the African-American community that's looking for jobs now?
Devastating, Mr. Holliday. I'm also aware of the provision you're talking about, is that instead of paying that $5,000 penalty because of Obamacare, that would be waived if employers would hire a newly legalized illegal alien, because they would be exempt from Obamacare. You know, and that message needs to be sounded out to the black community and all communities in America, what a devastating effect that would have on our unemployment numbers if that bill passes. You know, I think that the Senate was under such pressure by those open border groups like La Raza, that, what can I say, concerns for the African-American community just wasn't a concern for the Senate.
Well, I hope you have success in helping the African-American community that's in the House to know what the many of the African-Americans are feeling about on immigration. And maybe it's not too late now. They ran everything through the Senate real quick, and they want to run it through the House, but it looks like the House is going to slow down and actually think about things before they pass them. And I'm glad you've brought out these things here. And we got to close here, Mike, but anything else you want to add to what we've said?
Yeah, Mr. Holliday. I'd like to also make a comment about that fallacy, that lie that's being told about these individuals being in the shadows. And having to be brought out of the shadows. They're not in the shadows. Anytime they want to openly demonstrate in our streets for the purpose of demanding rights for illegals, they do. They have bank accounts, credit cards, mortgages, and jobs.
So they're not really in the shadows, are they?
Yeah. How is that being in the shadows?
Hmm.
They're not trying to avoid detection. You know, they're not hiding. They're in the open. You know, and we keep being told that lie that we need to pass this bill so that we can bring them out of the shadows.
Yeah, well, with a president that enforced the laws, hadn't enforced them in 4 years, so I guess, you know, why be in the shadows if you know nobody's going to enforce the law?
Right. Just enforce the law, make E-Verify mandatory across the country, and make it where the illegals here are they not able to work.
Mm.
And just like a few politicians have said, they will self-deport.
And the liberals don't like that word self-deport, do they? They hate that word.
Yeah, they will. And punish employees who are openly hiring illegal aliens. You know, and that's already against the law. Just enforce laws that we have already on the book. You know, because I'm one of those citizens. I'm not going to believe that you're going to enforce a law that you pass to deal with this problem. You know, like we were talking about earlier, 1986, border security was promised. It was never implemented.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes me think that if you pass this amnesty bill, the border security and interior security is going to be enforced.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking this time out and helping me better explain, you know, better understand African-American concerns about the Immigration Reform Act that the Senate passed, and your concerns and hope that the Congressional Black Caucus and others will understand how you feel and many others feel. So appreciate you coming on the show, and we hope to get you back again sometime, Mike.
And I thank you for this opportunity, Mr. Holliday.
That's Mike Johnson, and he's gave us a couple good nuggets. Number one, he'd look at the immigration reform bill in the Senate, and they said, we got a broken system. He said, the reason it's broken, we got politicians aren't doing their job and aren't obeying the law, aren't enforcing the law. And that's so true and so right. And then he talked about E-Verify, and if you're not familiar with E-Verify, that's where before you can hire someone, you got to verify that they're a citizen or a legal resident. And that way, illegals are not supposed to be able to get jobs. And that's what he was saying. If we just put E-Verify everywhere, if you can't get a job, you're not here legally, then you have to go home. And why don't we enforce the laws? Very just true and simple, just telling us from the African-American point of view that this law is going to hurt the African-American community. So Mike Johnson had some great input and some nuggets there. So tell your friends and neighbors, they need to listen to this show. We need to get people in Washington listening so they can make good decisions. And more people are listening, and hopefully we're getting more and more people in D.C. area listening to us, because we need to move the country in the right direction. And that's what we're working on here at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I told you, on Tombstone of the Week Award, I got an exclusive. You hadn't heard anywhere else. We're giving it to you because you won't hear it anywhere else. I have to tell you, too, what's going on in California since the gay rights decision by the Supreme Court. Well, you won't believe there. There's an undeniable fact that the supporters of Proposition 8, they say the man-woman definition of marriage is passed by a majority of the voters. This is what they're saying, is still a valid part of our state constitution. And so what they're saying is, and if you dig down in law, this they're saying that that at least 56 out of 58 county clerks must continue to follow Proposition 8 because they were not parties to the recent federal lawsuit against Proposition 8, and that the state's governor and attorney general have no legal authority to order local county clerks to disregard the state constitution. So the supporters of Proposition 8, Prop 8, made gay marriage in California illegal, and they brought suit and went to the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court said that Prop 8 was vacated. Prop 8, the people who brought it to court did not have standing to bring that to court. But, and it gets a little confusing here, but the U.S. Supreme Court determination that the Prop 8's official proponents lacked standing to defend the measure in federal court. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling against Prop 8 was vacated, and that made it leaving no legal precedent in either state or federal courts declaring Prop 8 unconstitutional statewide. There was no legal precedent that declared Prop 8 unconstitutional statewide in either state or federal courts. So therefore, California's constitution requires public officials to enforce any voter-passed initiative until an appellate court declares it to be unconstitutional. So everybody's getting married all over California. It may not be legal, except for in a couple of counties that brought the case and went to the Supreme Court. Interesting to see. And Tombstone of the Week Award goes to all the lawyers, all the people who fought against Prop 8 for not realizing they only represent two counties now. And what will the courts do or say? Well, what the supporters of Prop 8 are saying, what is legal in the state of California is for the at least two counties where the federal court took up the Supreme Court. Those are the two counties are saying gay marriage is legal in an entire state of California. So we'll see. You heard it first here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I just want to tell you that you are the greatest listeners. I appreciate the emails. Appreciate what you're sending in. But I do want to tell you that we are going to work together, and we're going to get this country moving in the right direction. It's taking longer than we thought. We got President Obama reelected last November, but there's always a silver lining, and that's the thing. The liberals are going to have to start understanding that it's not working, okay? It's not working. We knew that before last November, but not enough people in the nation did. And so things are starting to turn around slowly but surely, and you'll hear things here. So keep listening, and we will see you next week with another edition of Rock Splitting Politics.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.